Father, we thank you again for this day, and Lord, I pray you'd help my voice and what I'm losing a little bit, and I just pray that somehow or another, even a frail body, you can get glory this morning, and pray you bless the people that are here on this day. Lord, we open this precious book. Without it, we would not know who you are or know anything about you. We know that Supreme Being wouldn't tell us who it is without the book. And Lord, without the book, we wouldn't be understand ourselves before a holy God. We thank you again. Everything we need to know is found right here until you get us home. Thank you for the Holy Spirit of God that helps us understand it as we give our time and our talent to studying it. And thank you for the privilege to be here today. May I be a blessing to these people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me, first of all, to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. I had a series, and I got today, and probably one more short message after today, about our country. I believe with all my heart that God has everything that's needed for individuals as far as ingredients for the Christian life. I believe also God has set forth the standards when it comes to an individual or a nation. And so when we come to things in this life, we see things that's happening, and it's obvious to a child of God, especially if you know anything about this book, the Holy Word of God. If you don't spend some time in this book, then you're behind. You will not understand a lot of things that's going on today. For God help us understand His Word, that we may understand what's on the horizon to see what He's doing in His kingdom. And so when we look at America and we think about where we're at today, I don't know too many people at all won't tell you, even unsaved people, that we're headed for a lot of trouble if we don't see something change. Amen. But the thing about it, what do we have to base our thinking of that on? Well, God teaches us that we should look back to our day, to Israel, as God dealt with Israel in the Old Testament, for God doesn't have to change from one generation to the next, or one century to the next, or one millennium to the next. He's always the same. We live a little different age today. I don't think that anyone in the olden days years ago would know what, certainly back in Moses' day and certainly back in Abraham's day and early part of the, even up to a couple hundred years ago, would even known anything about what an automobile is or what a television is. If the Bible had talked about those things, then the priest, I'm sure, would have had a hard time trying to understand those things in those days. But God gives some principles that works in any age, because He gives them in the way that He sees things and lets us understand when we find ourselves being transformed and then conformed to what He says. God will bless. If not, in spite of what the world may say, God will destroy sin. It's against everything that He does. It's against His principle, against who He is. It's against His righteousness. So here in the last few weeks, we've been looking at America using the Bible as our text to look at how God dealt, as Paul told the church at Corinth, to go back and look at Israel and learn not to do the things that Israel did that brought the wrath of God upon Israel for Him to scatter them, even to, they were scattered to 1948 when He promised to bring them back, and He's bringing them back as a nation. And so we looked the first Sunday was the rise of the United States of America. The next Sunday we talked about what about America. The next Sunday we talked about what about we the people. And last Sunday, we talked about some signs of a nation headed for judgment. Now, this morning, before I read, I want to make a few comments, and then we'll get into the message. Ladies and gentlemen, technology shows us what man can do. Technology in our day has become a god to a lot of people. They think we advanced so far, so fast, and done such things that man's never done before. That kind of makes us, our age, like a kind of a super being people. We're kind of a supernatural people. So we understand we live in an age today more so understanding technology in the end of the age. And technology shows us what man can do. And we have done a lot in the last few hundred, or the last 100 years, and certainly even the last 50 years. Man has done a lot. But there's another word we need to understand too, and that's the word theology. And theology teaches us what man should do from God's viewpoint. So man is doing technology fine and saying what he can do, but God says in theology, I want you to know what I see you can do or what you should do And if you do what you should do, believe me, even before you get home to glory, it'd be a lot better in this world. But this world's a sinful world. The things that man really needs is God's divine grace. And our nation needs it more so now than ever before. Governments do not create things. Individuals create things. So what happens when a nation ignores God's warning? What takes place? Well, the nation that we know of that God has dealt with is Israel. Therefore, we can go back and we can look at what God said in bringing Israel up and also dealt with her for a number of years and then dispersed her and even destroyed the beloved city that he had them to build in 70 AD because of sin. Now, God didn't do that in 10 years or 12 years or 50 years or 100 years. He made promises and gave them ample time. Sometimes it's 400 and 500 years before something really drastic happened, even though there were things that gave warning before they happened in pre-things. They may have something that would be bad, but not as bad as it could be. I believe we've seen some of that in our nation. I believe we've seen some of the last 10 years in this nation in things, ladies and gentlemen, people laugh at us and ridicule us because hey, let me tell you something. God created the laws of wind. God created the laws of meteorology. God created the laws that brings cyclones and tornadoes and hurricanes. Do you know that? He created those things. And there's times that little things, you go through the scripture and you'll find many times there was currents and winds and different things and hail and different things that came at certain times. Not because a certain group where it may have came was worse than anybody else, because everybody was in the same plateau. But God says when they come, it's a warning. Men need to repent. And he told Israel that over and over again. Now, when I see these things, look with me now in Isaiah chapter 9, read verse 8 down a few verses. The Lord sent a word unto Jacob. We read this a few weeks ago. And it hath lighted upon Israel, addressing Jacob, addressing Israel, the nation. And all the people shall know, even Ephraim, and the inhabitants. Now, God has given information that all the nation of Israel should know because of the ones he wrote through. He said, and the inhabitants of Samaria, they should know when God talks about bringing judgment if there's not a repentant attitude. They should know that God means his word and keeps his word. But he says again, they say in the pride and stoutness of heart. When God warned them, they say in the prideness of their heart and the stoutness of their heart. That means in the boasting of the heart. They are proud and they boast about what they're going to do in light of that those situations they were in. And because of that, verse 10, God says, no, you won't. Verse 10, notice, he says, the bricks are falling down, but we will build with huge stone. This is what they were saying in their prideness and the boastfulness. Our enemies come up, hey, after all, we're God's children. After all, we have been raised by God. God called us out through Abraham's vow. We have the blessing. He's promised to bless us. But wait a minute. He said, bless those that will. He blessed them that blessed Israel. He cursed those that cursed Israel. So there's twofold that blessing. But here at this time, he says, instead of repenting like God said when something would come and they bring something else and he brings something else, instead of repenting, they began to boast and said, you can't beat us. After all, in theory, we have God on our side. And watch what they said. They said the bricks are falling down, but we will build with huge stones. He said the sycamores are cut down, but we will change them to cedars. We'll make them out instead of brick mortar like it is that's so soft it can be destroyed, and yet we'll make it out of huge stone. We'll go to the rock and cut the stones out. You can't destroy that. We'll take into the sycamore trees. It's less soft and not as good a material, and we'll build back with cedars, which is greater. And God said, wait a minute, you're missing the whole point just for reading between the lines. He said, therefore, because you say this, watch this curse, this is what they said, and this was a curse to Israel because they defied God in saying what he would do to them if they didn't repent. And he said, therefore, the Lord shall set up the adversaries of Rins and against him and join his enemies together. This is not our revenge will be against him, his adversary, but I'm going to join countries together against you. The Syrians before and the Philistines behind, and they shall devour Israel with an open mouth. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. God said, the first phase, second phase comes through, my hand's going to be still stretched out against you. Why? Because he says in verse 17, everyone is a hypocrite and evildoer, and I had every mouth speaketh folly. We read this a few weeks ago. Read again for the topic of the day. The people shall be fueled the fire themselves. And then we get in verse 10 again, chapter 1. Woe unto them that decree unrighteousness, decree, and that right grievousness which they have prescribed. In other words, to say what they did in verse 10 in defiance against God was a grievousness to them. They didn't even know it. To boast what they were going to do against what God said they could not do, they could not even do that. And he said, the decree of unrighteous decree and right grievousness which they have prescribed. Just because some leaders say some things sometime to encourage people may not be truth. Now I want to talk to you this morning. Judgment exposes the foundation. We talked about last week this saying some signs of nations headed for judgment. When God brings judgment, it would expose the foundation. If God has to give a chastening hand to his child, it'll expose something about the foundation is not right. If God has to bring a judgment to a community or whatever, it will expose the foundation. If he brings it to nation, God is exposing the foundation. He says he sees something the world can't see. He sees beyond the norm as far as the body. He sees the heart. Each time a nation rejects an initial shaking by God, more will come. And that's what we see in Isaiah 9 in verse 11. God said, hey, you're talking about you can't build them strong enough against me. You may think they're doing it, but I'm in this thing. I'm in charge of this world. I'm in charge of this situation, planet Earth. I build, I raise up, and I can destroy. And I want you to know human beings are my making in my image. I love them. I respect them. But wait a minute. They're not ruling things. I am. This is God's word all through the Old and the New Testament. When nations refused to repent, they responded with vows to trust in their own strength and to rebuild. And that's what Israel was doing right here. Israel turned to foreign powers for help, but not God. You notice that? We will build. Didn't say anything about God. We'll build out a huge stone instead of brick. We'll build out of cedar instead of sycamore wood. Things like that. And Israel turned to the foreign powers for help and not the Lord. And by the way, so does America. Now there's a nucleus in this country that loves God and call and cry out to God and thank God for that. Probably the only reason we've been saved as it is. But I'll tell you, if we not see our leaders do the same thing that Israel's leader is saying here, then we've got our head in the sand. Isaiah 9 verse 11 and 12. Israel was trying to strengthen their power against Assyria with words. In Luke chapter 12, verse 18, you remember when the man had the big good crop? And he said, I don't have nowhere to store my stuff. My barns are full. And he said, I know what I'll do. I'll build bigger barns. Didn't give God credit one bit. I'll build bigger barns. And then I'll store. And I'll say, so eat and enjoy yourself. And God says, thou fool. This night thy soul will be called of thee. When we see things like this, ladies and gentlemen, it shows us that God lets us go so long, but he always wants us to realize his plan should be our plan. Should be our plan. He has a kingdom. He don't rule like democracy and trying to vote. He has a kingdom. And that kingdom he is the head of until we get home, and then we'll see him with our eyes. To not repent is to bring calamity that one sought to avert. A nation that tries to defy God's chastening hand of judgment, it's going to trigger another judgment calamity. If a nation says at this time, well, we can do it, we'll do it, leave God out, the next one will be a little worse. And if he does it then, the next will be a little worse. And next will be a little worse until God says, well, no one is listening, this is what I'm going to do. And that's what he did to Israel. He dispersed her. And for years, they were without anything, even though they had, in the time of Rome, they had colonies, so to speak, that where they could worship in synagogue and so forth, but they still didn't have the freedom. They were looking for the tyrant Rome to be taken off their shoulders. That's the reason he had like Judas and Iscariot and others who were involved at that time to throw Rome off their shoulders of Israel, and they thought Jesus Christ was the man because of the power at that time. And of course, Judas Iscariot went not because he was following Christ per se, but because he thought Christ could do something for his cause that he had as a soldier in Israel at that time. So let me give you three quick points. Judgment exposed the foundation, one's foundation. Number one's this. God exposes foundations when judgment comes. If someone said, well, that's just an accident hazard when you see things happening. Ladies and gentlemen, you got to keep in mind, God don't have accidents. God, listen, folks, God sees everything from the very beginning. Did you know, it always amazes me when I think about him. Did you know, when isn't it an amazing thing, you and I trust the Lord to get saved, and God set it up through Jesus Christ. And yet God will save us and wash us in his blood, knowing down the road somewhere or another we may do something still bad. You ever thought about that? Do you want it? Hey, if you knew, there's not a one in here that if God had looked down the road where we were instead of where Jesus was at, he wouldn't have saved us. You know why we're saved? Because of Jesus Christ. You know why? Because we accepted the record that God gave in his word about Jesus Christ. I'm amazed that God saved me 53 years ago, and yet he know the very end of my life where I would be. He know the times I'd make the wrong decision. He know the times you make the wrong decision. You say, preacher, I've never made a wrong decision. You just made one. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, you're not arrived yet. You look in the mirror and look at this word, and you'll find out if you get in it like you should and stay off the crust and get underneath it, it will bring conviction to your heart about a lot of things you never thought of, because God rules through his precious word. What are the foundations that our nation rested upon in the past? Well, what does the word foundation mean? It's that which something rests on. It's that which something stands on, something build upon. Does one try to build? Who is the one? The true God? On the true God or false gods? Because one or the other is the only way you can build in God's kingdom. I mean, from idols to military power to economic strength, are we trying to build alliances with false gods and prophets and idols? I see what God told Israel. If you look in Ezekiel chapter 13 with me, you find God said this to Israel in verse 14, 15, and 16. He said, so will I break down the walls. He's talking about now the message of the lying prophets. He said, hey, we docked it back with mortar, and we did this, and we did that. And God says this in response. So I look in Ezekiel 13, 14. So will I break down the wall that you have daubed with untempered mortar and bring it down to the ground so that the foundation thereof shall be discovered. He said, I'll show you this foundation when I get there. When I go through and do what I'm going to do, it won't just be the wall, you see. You're going to see what the foundation is. And that's what God does, ladies and gentlemen. He judges, his judgment exposes foundation. And then it shall fall, and you shall be consumed in the midst thereof, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Thus will I accomplish my wrath upon the wall, and upon them that daubed it with untempered mortar, and will say unto you, the wall is no more, neither they that daubed it. Hey, those who built it won't be around. Yeah, preacher, wait a minute. That's not the God I know. We better get to know the true and real God then. Amen. You say, preacher, I can't see that. I think so. I'm so glad that I understand when I see these things, that's the sight of God because of sin, but I also am glad he loved me when I was in sin to save my soul. Amen. From hell. When I was, even though religious, lost and undone in church, just as bad as anyone else, I'm glad he saw and did what for me he could do for me I couldn't do for myself. He said, to wit, the prophets of Israel which prophesied concerning Jerusalem and which see visions of peace for her, and there is no peace, saith the Lord God. He said, the prophets have said, oh, I can't. Don't believe those few prophets that prophesied this terrible stuff. But there's peace, 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 peace. And he says again in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 14, he said, they said peace and peace when there is no peace. By the way, we have a lot saying that today too. It don't take much to look around this world and realize there's no peace on this earth. When I see these things, number two, unlike other nations, American Israel builder and planter is God. In Jeremiah chapter 45 and down about verse 4, here is what God said. And he talked, Jeremiah, who Baruch was writing the book for him, and he said to them, you say, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto thee, O Baruch, Now, this is what he's writing. God said this to him in verse 4. Thus shalt thou say unto him, the Lord saith thus, behold, that which I have built will I break down, and that which I have planted, I'll pluck it up, even this whole land. He said, I can do the whole land. Now, do you mean to tell me you're going to listen to those who deny God, or you're going to listen to the God who is the creator, and he was of Israel in that day? What is true of ancient Israel is also true of America 2,600 years later today. Trying to strengthen American national security and defense requires great expenditures. And when you and I look at that, by the way, war on terror, we say, well, we can whip them. But wait a minute. It might be God let us have some victories and yet lose some other way. War on terror and military campaigns in the Middle East have cost us millions, billions of dollars. And we find ourselves getting more in debt, right? Now, I say we got to go after them before they come here, if that's the thing. But on the other hand, we have to realize we may be fighting and winning and still losing. All this leads to a skyrocketing of a national debt. We know what that is, don't we? It's affected every last one of us. After 9/11, 2001, Congress condemned the attack, and rightly so. I agree with that. Congress also declared war against the terrorists. I'm before that. They deserve it. Amen? Look what they did here in one little, just a short period of time, one day. They say Congress punished the guilty parties, and I'm for that. But let me show you something. Go back to Isaiah chapter 9. Ladies and gentlemen, this is an amazing thing at this time. Tom Daschle, who's a senator of the majority, is the Senate majority leader at time in Congress, rose to speak, and when he spoke, he used Isaiah 9, verse 10 in his speech. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. When he finished his speech, he used Isaiah 9, verse 10, trying to inspire America what Isaiah said in Isaiah 9, 10. But wait a minute, that was what they said. God called a curse on them for saying that. They didn't repent. Ladies and gentlemen, it is out of place to use what God said to rebuke Israel without rebuking America. You read that, and if we don't repent, it's a rebuke to us. And they don't even realize it. They don't understand Scripture. They just, hey, the Bible says this, and they'll say, that's one thing, read from the Bible now, we're in bad shape. Did you know God also put curses in this Bible on certain things? There are certain things he said you better not do. And when he sees those things, I'm telling you, here, ancient history in Israel was officially joined together with American history on 9/11/2001. He used prophecy that Isaiah spoke to Israel. Here's a non-prophet, spoke prophetically about America, and he says, let us build back. We will. We will build back stronger. We will come back better. We're Americans. We have the technology. We have all that's needed. We can fight anyone in this world, and we'll love anyone in this world. Wait a minute. You better get your heart right if you're going to do that, because God's involved with this thing. I'm talking about America as a whole. This is something man fails to do. Daschle said, this is what we'll do. Isaiah 9, verse 10 is a vow of judgment due to Israel's rebellion, due to Israel's defiance against God, against God's warning. And this caused God to remove his hedge of protection against Israel. And by the way, so has it America. Say, preacher, wait a minute. We still have a lot of freedoms. Ladies and gentlemen, there's things happen underneath that we don't even know about. There's more attack on churches and Christianity in the last 10 years than there have been in a long time. And because of leaders can do a lot of things. Why would I say this? After all, are we not destroying terrorists? Yes, we're doing our best to make America safe. But God showed us that even the best safe place we think we are, it's very easy for the enemy to get to us at times. You know, you never thought that we felt safe. The ocean, ocean on one side, and the Pacific on the other, and Canada the north, Mexico the south, a boundary set up. We never thought they could get in here like that, did we? Listen, God can move the hedge just as good as he can build one. And you say, well, preacher, that leaves man out. No, that's putting God in. Man still has to do what he has to do, but God has to be first. That's right. And ladies and gentlemen, we can't win all the time unless God is first. The third thing, the World Trade Center, and that's what I'll come to. I'm talking about economics. The World Trade Center symbolizes America's financial power. And that's what they struck. I often wonder, why did they strike that? If they're going to strike anything to get away with the collapse of this country, it's that which has made this country as an idol. The commerce, the power, the finances. That's what those two buildings were. Back in March 1792, merchants met to discuss to bring to order the trading of stocks and bonds 220 years ago. And that's where they met at, in New York City. That same year, on May the 17th, they signed the agreement of 68 Walls on 60 at 68 Wall Street. That document was named the Buttonwood Agreement. And later it became known as the Buttonwood Association, renamed it, the Buttonwood Association renamed it the New York Stock Exchange. And that's where it was at when we talk about Wall Street. Another word for Buttonwood, isn't it amazing, is sycamore. Isn't it amazing that building all around New York, there still stayed that sycamore tree there. 220 years after they did this. It was still there. They protected it. It got destroyed this time. You say, that's a coincidence. All right, believe that. I just believe God's in charge, folks. You say, that's what's wrong with you people. You're just radicals. Hey, it's a lot more radical not to believe God than to believe Him. I mean, what else can you call that? Those people didn't deserve that any more than anybody else. They weren't because they were sinners. We're just as much a sinner as they are. It just happens that where they would be at when things happen. And I kind of, you say, well, how did God, I don't understand it all, but I'll tell you this. Nothing's happened without God on this earth knowing about it. Right. Nothing's happened without God knowing about it. The document was named this. Now, another word, a sycamore. Wall Street and America financial power began under a sycamore tree. And the symbol was the symbol of America's original foundation. This tree grew in the shadow of the World Trade Center. Now, if you go through the scriptures, you'll find trees are often used by God to symbolize cities and nations. He does this, especially nations, in Isaiah 65, Jeremiah 11, Jeremiah 17, Ezekiel 17, Daniel 4, just a few places. You go and you get the coordinates and look at the times that God uses trees and refers to them as nations of some kind. Trees are often used by God to be symbols of nations, like Babylon, Assyria, Israel. Trees also are all uprooted, which speaks of judgment of nations. When God wanted to show a judgment of nation, He would uproot a tree and set forth a symbolic of what would happen to them if they didn't do certain things. On 9/11/2001, the symbol of America's rise of global economic superpower fell. We were the supernatural economists of the world. And those two towers set forth that to the world. Ladies and gentlemen, the symbol again, the problem with the tree, the symbol America's rise of global economic power fail. God allowed that tree to be removed, the sycamore tree. By 2008, the greatest economic disaster took place since the Great Depression 80 and 90 years ago. In just 7 years from that happened, we like to lost everything. And some of us did lose a lot. Even though you say, well, it's coming back some. It might be the next time it's worser. You know what? You say, well, wait a minute, preacher. Well, after that happened, we had a great prayer meeting up in New York Stadium. And that place was full. And everybody was praying to their God. Nobody was repenting, though. What good is prayer without repenting? Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. And what good is prayer outside of Jesus Christ? You say, well, preacher, you're all based now. No, I'm not condemning anyone. I'm just glad I'm connected to the one that's connected to God. That's Jesus Christ. Now listen to me. By 2008, this collapse of the American economy, this brought the crash of Wall Street, and it lies in Isaiah 9:10, just like the collapse of Israel. Could that be, and I ask this, could this be a type of national judgment for not repenting? I'm asking. I don't know. I don't know God's mind. I just know God said, look at what I did to Israel, to Corinth. And he said, don't lust after those things. Don't go after those things. He said, they are an for you as an admonition to know. When you want someone to look at that I dealt with, look at Israel. She was the apple of my eye. I loved her as a husband loves a wife. He referred to her as his wife a number of times. But when she rebelled, he is righteous, she's unrighteous. He's holy, she's unholy. Those two can't mix. Sooner or later, righteousness and holy must win. Because why? That's God's kingdom. Remember the prayer that Jesus prayed? Matthew 6, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We know his will is going to be done in heaven. He said it in earth as it is in heaven. His will is the only thing that really matters for us to be prosperous here and in glory one day. Only God can help us solve our problem. May we heed the shaking when they come. Today, an uprooted sycamore tree has been replaced now by a bronze tree. It's placed at the end of Wall Street. First, the Trade Center fell. Then, some 7 years later, the collapse of the American economy fell on Wall Street. Could this be a sign? I don't know. But I'll tell you this. Don't be surprised if it won't. Can you say it for sure? I don't know, but I know this. When God cries out in an evil world to repent and to believe what he says, and when he says to the church at Corinth 2,000 years ago, look at Israel, she's the standard. I showed her in the midst of the world what I do when she did right and what I do when she did wrong, because you must know that I am God. That's what he tells us. And so we go through and we understand. It seems that the uprooting of the sycamore tree was not just a warning of judgment, but a foreshadow of the uprooting of America's unparalleled financial and economic system. Things to be built, God wills. And what he said, we just read in Ezekiel, God can will things to be built. God also wills that which is built to be broken down when a nation refuses to repent. In Acts 17, 29 through 30, Paul's talking on Mars Hills. He's talking about what God did at one time. He winked at some sins, he said, before Jesus came, even though he dealt with them. In Acts, again, chapter 17, and you look in verse 29, he said, for as much then were the offspring of God, he said, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like a gold and silver stone graven in art and man's device. In the time of this ignorant God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. That now is carried on today, 2,000 years later. Why? The next verse tells us why. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance to all men in that he raised him from the dead. Paul said, as Luke gives account here in the book of Acts, that Jesus Christ is the assurance of what God says he's going to do because he raised him from the dead. And that gives you that information. And he said, and when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked and others said, we'll hear thee again of this matter, signifying the day. When you read anything from the scripture that God says he did or might do, they still mock that unless you know the God through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the answer for our eternal soul. This starts, he said, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. This starts with the individual. Repentance starts with the individual. Then, if enough individuals can repent, will repent, it can affect a nation. On the other hand, if enough individuals do whatever they do, can affect a nation for God or against God. Now, isn't it an amazing thing? We have a grassroots of groups across this nation of people who are saved, born again. But isn't it an amazing thing that when we have who we have, our children of God, how much we're losing the freedom to witness for those who want to go soul winning. Most Christians don't go soul winning. But if they want to go soul, how we are losing the freedom to do what God had given us the permission to do in this country through the years is try to win people to the Lord. We're having everything in the world happen from the top down instead of from the bottom up. Because it don't take but a few in office to make laws to govern all of us, thousands, when a law is made. So enough individuals can affect a nation for God or against God. You need to know Jesus Christ to be for God. Ladies and gentlemen, God formed us. Sin deformed us. And only God, through Jesus Christ, can transform us to get us back where we were at, so we can be conformed not to this world, but to the Lord Jesus Christ. His desire should be our desire. He gives us all the time in the world, each day. We ought to say, Lord, please help me find my place, use my talents, use what you give me to some degree, that while I'm here in time, that I am doing my best to show you and your kingdom. See, God is invisible. This world can't see him. So if they can't see him, you go anywhere and they believe in something. But someone has led them to believe in something. And the thing about it is, they will believe because God made man for that ability to be tapped into. So when the word of God is proclaimed, it can tap into a heart that heart will receive it. God says, come as you are. I'll take you as you are. And yet he sees the end from the beginning. There are some children of God who've been saved for years and in other way. Do you not think that God saw David when he said David's man after his own heart? Do you not think that all of a sudden, do you think God one day said, my, I chose David. Look at what he's done. Do you not think that God don't see us? He sees you tomorrow, next day. He sees you if you use his name in vain. He sees you when no one else sees you, and he still loves you. And he loves me. And I'm glad that helps me understand. My God knows me, and he knows you. And I'm glad anything I would slip up somewhere or another to do, which I plan not to, but I'll tell you, when I begin to say I plan not to do something, Satan is more powerful than I am. And so is he you. That's one of the things I've learned here in the last few years. And parents, let me just say this, and I close. God sees everything. Sometimes you have a child that will disrupt in a family. It may be a young boy, maybe a young girl. And it just rakes you over pain. But God knows that environment that they're in then, they don't really understand until they get a little older. And God sees a chaplain probably in somebody that we and I see, a terrible kid right now. God sees something you don't see. He knows if they lived 40 years from now what they're going to be at that time. And it could be the environment they're in now, though they kick in the harnesses. The environment will bring them around to remember when they get older what they needed that mother and dad had back in that arena. God sees it. I'm telling you, God sees it. You say, well, preacher, I got saved, but I got caught up in something that had nothing to do with it. It's just so terrible in this life. Let me tell you something. God don't love you any less. Don't let Satan think he's tricked you all of a sudden, kicked you out of the family because you did something that you should not do, because every one of us have done that somewhere or another. You're not me, preacher. You don't know enough yet then. You don't know enough yet. You have to understand the blood of Christ is where we're cleansed with. And the walk of Christ will be as we grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. And you don't grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord just coming and sitting in a pew and not never reading the Bible. Never study the Bible. You can't understand what God wants you to do by just hearing someone else speak all the time. You've got to get along this book. God's Word gives us God's will for our life. Some people say, I'd love to know what God's will for my life. Get in the book and I guarantee you, you'll find God's will. If your state may take you 5 years. It may take you 10 years, but you'll find God's will for your life. Why? God's Word gives us God's will. And so here I say today, individuals start, and as it starts, repenting moves. There's something about the family. There's something about the community, something about the church. There's something about the nation. Collectively together, as we call upon God, when we see sin rampage like this today, God hears those who stay clean before him. He does that. He does that. Father in heaven, thank you for this nation. Lord, I don't know if anybody prays for the leaders anymore than Christians do. We are told to do that. And we do pray from our president down. Lord, please give him spiritual strength and spiritual inspiration to do some things that would honor you and not some group nor some country, and then we lose everything we have. Lord, I pray for the Congress, the Senate, the House. I pray for the judicial system. Dear Lord, pray for those who are on the courts across the land. Lord, somebody somewhere along the way is going to have to say, look, we got to be sure we line up biblically because this is God's word. Not the rewritten word. If it is, we'll be everything in the world that anybody else says. But really know the truth of God's word. Lord, we pray for our state representatives. We pray for each one that's in our state to House and Senate and come on down to the counties and to the municipalities. Lord, a lot of folks in government. And Lord, we just pray somehow or another, let us look at the world through the eyes of God. Let us look how you did with Israel and realize America and Israel are the only two countries ever exist where God had a direct hand in. You raised Israel from Abraham. Lord, you let this country be settled from people, really. It was founded a long time and people came, but the real settlement of this country came when those people left their motherland coming here to worship God according to the dictates of the heart. They came to reach people for Christ like the Indians and anyone else that was here in the colonies. The Lord had freedom down through the years. Some of them gave their very lives. And now they call us, you know, just rebel rousers, and we just can't get along seemingly. Lord, the only thing we're doing is say, look, what's wrong than saying, let's listen to what God has to say? Well, that's your opinion. No, we have a Bible. Everybody has a Bible. They can get one. It's not been banned yet. Lord, we can read. They can read the history of Israel. Anyone can. You can read our history if you want to, like it was, not like some people trying to say it is today. Not finding certain little things out of context and talking about things, but finding in context. Dear Father, thank you for our nation. Now, Lord, if there's one here today not saved, God's still calling out to them. He wants them to come. He wants them to see and believe the record that God gave of His Son. He's done everything that's possible. He encourages them. He wants to use their talents. He wants them to, in these days, dear Lord, let their life count for His kingdom. So in turn, collected together with His believers, Lord, enough believers, God will hear. My people shall hear His voice. You said you do things in the Old Testament, dear Father, and we realize that sometimes maybe the nucleus of God's people could find themselves getting where they want to be, closer to God. And God might spare this country because of that. I know this, we're all guilty, and dear Lord, we need your help. Please help our leaders and help us submit where we can. But Lord, when they make laws that goes against you, we must do as the apostles did. We must obey God rather than man. That means that some people may have harder times in the future as they try to serve God. Please bless our nation. Thank you for the blessings we have. We've all been blessed beyond what we deserve. And Lord, we're mindful of that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.